From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the opening portion of a message entitled, The Old Man Crucified and the Body of Sin Destroyed. The text is verses 6 and 7 of chapter 6, in which Paul continues his discussion of the believer's union with Christ. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, these verses must be clearly understood if believers would enjoy the benefits of Christ's resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 13. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. Lo, the flowery month has come. March winds and April showers have done their work, and the earth is all bedecked with beauty. Come, my soul, put on thine holiday attire, and go forth to gather garlands of heavenly thoughts. Thou knowest whither to betake thyself, for to thee the beds of spices are well known, and thou hast so often smelled the perfume of the sweet flowers, that thou wilt go at once to thy well-beloved, and find all loveliness, all joy in him. That cheek, once so rudely smitten with a rod, oft bedewed with tears of sympathy, and then defiled with spittle, that cheek, as it smiles with mercy, is as fragrant aromatic to my heart. Thou didst not hide thy face from shame and spitting, O Lord Jesus, and therefore I will find my dearest delight in praising thee. Those cheeks were furrowed by the plough of grief, and crimsoned with red lines of blood from thy thorn-crowned temples. Such marks of love unbounded cannot but charm my soul far more than pillars of perfume. If I may not see the whole of his face, I would behold his cheeks, for the least glimpse of him is exceedingly refreshing to my spiritual sense, and yields a variety of delights. In Jesus I find not only fragrance, but a bed of spices, not one flower, but all manner of sweet flowers. He is to me my rose and my lily, my heart's ease and my cluster of camphor. When he is with me, it is May all the year round, and my soul goes forth to wash her happy face in the morning dew of his grace, and to solace herself with the singing of the birds of his promises. Precious Lord Jesus, let me in very deed know the blessedness which dwells in abiding unbroken fellowship with thee. I am a poor, worthless one, whose cheek thou hast deigned to kiss. Oh, let me kiss thee in return with the kisses of my lips.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on thee and thee only. Give me a thirst for thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving thee only. Purge me from earth, turn my heart after thine.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Thank you.
Continuing our studies in the book of Romans, we read again the first seven verses of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, reading the first seven verses, and tonight we will be paying attention particularly to verses 6 and 7. Contrary to my first plan, I am going through Romans 6 a lot more slowly than, as I said, first anticipated. And I'm doing that simply because there is so much here that people have taken for granted. They think they have been taught what Romans 6 means, and the result, the net result for most Christians is that they live in a state of bondage and defeat, and they think that the Bible condemns them to that. And in most cases it is because of a very shoddy exposition of God's Word. This is a key chapter. This is where the whole doctrine of our justification and union with Christ comes down to, as you Americans say, to where the rubber hits the road. This is where it comes to personal living, the effect of our justification in our holy living and how we relate to sin in the world and in the body. How we do that. And Paul is going to take us through this in some detail in chapter 6, and he's going to deal with it from a different aspect in chapter 7. It's a very big thing. And so therefore I decided I would just slow up a little rather than do Romans 6 in two or three messages. I thought we would need to give it quite a bit of extra attention. But let's read the first seven verses together. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. For a quick recap, especially for those who have not been with us, Romans 6 starts with a question by which Paul intends to answer a certain objection to his doctrine. He has climaxed the wonderful teaching of the fifth chapter of Romans with the statement that where sin abounded, grace superabounded. It did much more abound. To which immediately he was open to the objection, well then, if more sin means all the more grace, then are you not saying, let us sin in order that grace may abound? His answer to that is, God forbid. Far be it from us. Let it never be. God forbid. How shall we who died to sin? He's not speaking so much of the state of being dead, though obviously that naturally follows from the action of dying. But the emphasis is upon this act that took place sometime in the past. How shall we above all people who died to sin, continue to live in sin? Now that was a sufficient answer. But it's an answer that Paul takes up and, as it were, he uses as a multifaceted diamond, and he just turns it around to let the light shine on it from different aspects. so that he will continue answering this abominable charge that the gospel of a free justification and of absolute security for the justified in Jesus Christ means then we can live whatever way we like, especially if we like to live in sin, and the grace of God will be all the more glorified thereby. We have already looked at verses 3 through 5. Under the general title of dead and alive. And now we come to verses 6 and 7, where he says, knowing this, that our old man is or was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve or be the slaves of sin. For he that died is freed. If you've got a marginal reference, you'll see they give you the literal translation. And I honestly don't see any reason to depart from this uniform translation of the Greek term. He that died is justified or has been justified from sin. Now in verse 5, Paul has just announced a glorious truth. The truth is that we shall be in the likeness of Christ's resurrection. It's a wonderful and assured statement. We shall be in the likeness of Christ's resurrection. Later in this epistle, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, he will make the same point in slightly different language. He will say, whom he justified, them he also glorified. The idea in both cases is to convey certainty. And the certainty of the truth announced in verse 5, that we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, depends upon the reality of the truth announced in verse 6, where he says, we know this, that our old man was crucified with him. Now these are truly amazing and wonderful words. Properly understood, these words lay the foundation for everything that Paul is going to say in the rest of Romans 6 and Romans 7. Properly understood, these are words of wondrous liberating power in the life of a Christian. I don't think it's going too far to say that they put in the hand of the Christian the golden key as to how to live, not just exist, but live. Live with who he is and what he is. Live in the real world and yet live in the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Properly understood, therefore, these words are of immense significance and of wondrous liberating power. Misunderstood, however, as they all too often are, these words seem to be nothing more than the meanderings of a mystical mind, far divorced from the real life struggles of ordinary believers. Now understand what I'm saying. You've got to grip carefully what I'm saying. I am not saying these are the meanderings of a mystical mind. I am denying that. But I am saying, if you're to understand this passage as it is all too often presented to God's people, it is so divorced from reality that it looks just like mysticism of a kind that we can never approach unto. We shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 5. In other words, in our present state, we shall enjoy the spiritual benefits and the spiritual power of the resurrection of Christ. We shall live in the here and now with the benefits and the power of Christ's resurrection. We are not yet in the resurrection, but we are, at least physically, but we are in the likeness of that resurrection. However, there's a promise here that goes much beyond the current state. And that is that in the ages to come, we will enter fully into the triumph of Christ over death and over hell as we are perfectly glorified and as we come to experience what Paul terms the adoption, the redemption of the body. Now, how do we know this? It's all right saying this is true, but how do we know this? How can we be so sure of this? And the answer in this entire section of the book of Romans is that Christ is our security. Our security as Christians does not rest in the frame of mind in which we happen to get up in the morning. It does not lie in some particular aspect of our spiritual experience. You've got to be very careful about making your state, that is your eternal state, dependent upon a transitory mood. You can have wonderful religious experiences and be under the wrath of God. You know, one of the most joyous times in the history of Israel is when David sent for the Ark of the Covenant. And they had a wonderful religious party all along the road. They were singing, they were dancing, they were in wonderful fettle. And you would have imagined from their religious experience that they were in the height of blessing and that God was with them. Well, he was with them, but he was with them in anger. He was with them in judgment. And as soon as Uzzah put his hand to the ark that was rocking on the cart in which it was carried, like that, God smote him. David was angry, but he had no right to be angry. It's a foolish thing. Foolish thing indeed. To imagine from some euphoric experience that you have security. Our security needs an absolute basis, and that basis is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how Paul argues throughout this portion of the book of Romans. The Lord Jesus died, the Lord Jesus rose again. In John 14, verse 19, he had promised his disciples, "Because I live, ye shall live also." And here in Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul demonstrates for us the formal basis on which that promise of the Savior rests. Because he says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, because he that died has been justified from sin." Tonight I want us to think upon the old man crucified and the body of sin destroyed. The old man crucified and the body of sin destroyed. And I will tell you what I told one of the ladies of the congregation today, that I will have 4 points tonight. I may not get to them all, so it may be 4 points tonight and next week. But I will have 4 points. And I say that because I am told by various people that they have a hard time figuring out points from subpoints and all the rest of it. Well, don't get worried about the technicalities, but I'm telling you, and these should be clear enough as we go along so that you'll be able to follow, because the argument here is vitally important. You see, in this passage of Scripture, we run into some terms that are far-reaching and terms that have been, I think, largely obscured in most of the interpretation that men have given them. The old man is one such term. The body of sin is another such term. We're going to look at those tonight.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.